they'll make it the second time. And that's the fun part for us as coaches, as teachers.
The hell's Kevin Stefanski talking about? Of course we're going to overreact.
That was, he knows you are.
Yeah, it's what we get paid to do, right?
I love when I watch these clips that are posted on the website or on social media when he goes, you know what, Daryl?
And then, like, sometimes you can just visualize the four-letter words running through his mind.
He's good to you.
I know he is.
He's good to you, but it's just he knows you, obviously, and you've covered the team for so long. But it makes me laugh sometimes when, because you obviously go at him. And look, I think the Browns beat people do a great job. But sometimes when he's like, you know, Daryl, that just cracks me up.
You really have to go there right now because I really don't want to talk
about
that.
It's good. It's good. Come on.
But he was great Friday. That clip was from the conversation with Ken and Anthony on Friday here on The Fan. And if you missed it, the entire interview is available on our YouTube channel. You can watch that. Kevin was in studio and yeah, I mean it is overreaction season has begun or will begin this week. It's OTAs, off-season training activities, which means they're just going to be in shorts and t-shirts and a helmet, and they're just going to do some calisthenics. They're going to run some routes. No real team stuff just yet. We're going to be I'm not. Just because I'm
yes,
too good.
You are.
Nope,
yes, you are.
I'm not. Nope.
Don't
I'm not
lie.
Doing it.
Don't
I am.
Lie.
I am too good to do this.
Oh,
I am not charting completions this week.
Name names, Daryl.
I will not name names, but I'm sure that better reporters than I will be charting completions and incompletions. I will not do that. You want to know why, Matt?
Hold on. Will you stand on the podium, and when Dylan Gabriel stands up there, will you get on the mic and say, I'm taller than him? Will you do that? Come on. That's viral stuff.
See, here's the thing. So, all right. So I have a few rules in life. Don't end up on TMZ. Don't go viral for the wrong reasons. Don't be the story. I've said on the air multiple times already that I'm taller than Gabriel is. And by the way, at first, like, I was saying that facetiously, a little tongue in cheek.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can confirm, Matt, I am in fact taller than Gabriel. Poor guy. But you know what? He's built like a tank. He really is. Like, he's built like a football player.
Yes.
And
I don't care how tall he is. Can he throw the football? Remember when people said Baker Mayfield was too small? I mean, come on. And I don't want to go there, but you know what I mean.
No, I hear you.
I think we joke about this whole thing and here we go with OTAs and all the guys will be out there. Like you said, I've never seen anything like this. I can't remember a time where a team went into, whether it's mini camp, OTAs, mandatory camp, training camp, and went, here are four guys. I mean, this is so Browns. It's so Browns.
Oh,
but there
man.
Is a level of excitement
and
about
guess
it
what?
And intrigue.
We have a chance to see each and every one of these guys start a game this year.
Well, that would be bad.
I'm being sincere. I'm not being I'm being a little sarcastic, but there's a lot of truth behind my sarcasm.
No,
like there's a very good possibility that we see all four of these guys. And I got to be honest with you. The more I thought about this, like I get it. Like they've got a coming off a 3-win season, which was a complete unmitigated disaster. They've got to show fans we're trying to win, right? They bought Myles Garrett's happiness this offseason. He couldn't get out of here fast enough and get out of that organization fast enough, and then they gave him $40 million a year. And he's like, oh, yeah, I love the quarterback plan.
That's
okay,
right.
Okay, so you mean to tell me that Andrew Berry was like, yo, Miles, so here's what we got, my man. I'm going to give you $40 million a year. Kenny Pickett, we're going to trade for him. We're going to bring back Joe Flacco because I know your boys. We're going to draft a 5'11" quarterback from Oregon that couldn't beat Ohio State in the college football playoffs. And we're going to bring in Shedeur Sanders. Can I get your autograph on this piece of paper here, please. And I and Miles was like, hell yeah.
Sign me up.
Sign me up for another 5 years of this, please.
There's no way that they told him they were drafting Shador. I still to this day don't think that they were going to draft him. They ever thought in a million years that he would be there in the fifth round, and they're like, yeah, what the heck? Let's take a flyer on him, and that's what they did.
but it would be the most Brownsian thing for him to work out, right?
That'd be great. It'd be great for any of them to work out.
Like, I'm not disputing that. I'm just saying, though, it would be the most Brownsian thing for the kid to work out. Like, fifth round, he was there on the board, and they're just like, ah, what the heck? Why not? We're throwing stuff against the wall as it is already. Why not? Let's just go ahead and do it, which is basically what they did.
Right.
Right.
Is it bad that I am semi-intrigued by Kenny Pickett? Is that a bad thing? I'm not saying I love him. I'm not saying, oh, great move. And, you know, oh, my gosh. I can recall how bad Matt Canada was as the offensive coordinator of the Steelers. No, I'm being serious. A couple of years ago.
Canada. So, oh, sorry.
You know, and I love Canada. Not Matt Canada, but I love Canada. But I think Kenny Pickett, with the right staff and with some confidence, can maybe be something. Am I an idiot for thinking that?
Well,
he hasn't really gotten a second chance.
I don't think calling you an idiot would be nice of me to do.
You could call me.
No, I'm not going to do that.
How did he?
You want to know why? Because I'm above that. I'm above that childish behavior.
All right. So am I wrong in thinking that somehow he could be something?
You might want to seek help. Okay.
Yes, that's more like it.
I watched him for 2 years with the Steelers.
Yeah. Oh, it was terrible. I can admit that.
And
he was bad. Of course he was bad.
I mean, well, but he was an upgrade over DTR. But then again, me on one leg was an upgrade from DTR. Okay.
But like, okay.
He might be the worst quarterback I ever saw in my life.
Kenny Pickett or DTR?
No, DTR.
Oh, okay.
And again, I've watched 40 of these guys roll through Cleveland. So again, not a compliment.
Charlie Fry was better than DTR?
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay.
Other maybe not in that game against Seattle, he wasn't, but like,
that's what I was about to say.
Hey, you know what? Listen, only the Cleveland Browns could be the only team in NFL history to trade their week one starter right after getting their butts handed to them in week one. There have been many wonderful, well, not so much wonderful, but many unique things. It's a unique experience being a Browns fan. It's also a unique experience covering the Cleveland Browns because you see things that never in your life could you imagine. And typically most of them are not very good.
Well, do you remember when Detroit started? I think it was, I don't remember what year it was. Charlie Batch started week one.
Oh, yeah.
They bench him, bring in Ty Detmer, and he throws 7 picks at Cleveland Browns Stadium. And the Browns beat the Lions. I mean, that was, that's historic stuff.
Well, hey, you know, Ty Detmer lasted all of one game as the Browns starter before Carmen Policy was like, yeah, we're going to put Tim Couch on the field.
That's right.
We are willing to sat. It was so, because, and going into that inaugural season of the expansion Browns, like Policy was like, we're going to make the playoffs. And I remember hearing him say, I'm like, this guy's on something. He is outside his mind. There is no chance the Cleveland Browns as an expansion team are making the playoffs in year one, right? And their first win coming back was the Tim Couch Hail Mary in New Orleans against the Saints.
Epic.
And they celebrated that like they just won the Super Bowl. And for them that year, it was the Super Bowl. But the first 2 years, Chris Palmer went 2-2 against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Like, and then it just all, went south from there. Chris Palmer has there's a trivia question for you. Best winning percentage against the Pittsburgh Steelers in this expansion era. It's Chris Palmer, 500. 2-2.
I don't know. I was listening to Stefanski with the guys, and he did say nice things about Kenny Pickett. And I'm just saying,
were you expecting him to say not nice things about Kenny Pickett?
But I thought, and you and I talked about it pre-show, there wasn't a ton of stuff that was of substance. Look, all these, the head coach is not going to come into studio and drop bombs and bombshells and all of that.
He did not tell us who the starting quarterback is going to be this year, and I'm really disappointed in him for that.
Oh, come on. It's May. I thought he handled it well.
Listen, you're right. It is May. And you know what? I'm reaching for something, anything. Give me a little something, something right now, okay? Because charting completions for four quarterbacks ain't it for me.
Well,
not in May.
He did the best he could.
I know.
But he did say some nice things. He did say some nice things about Pickett. And I'm just saying, the guy's 26.
You're all aboard the Kenny Pickett train, aren't
you? No, don't.
Yeah, I
don't
know. That's not what I'm saying. Sounds like you are.
I'm saying I'm intrigued. I don't hate him.
Meredith's on my side. She thinks you're on the Kenny Pickett train here.
I just,
are you campaigning for him to be the week one starter, Matt?
I don't think he's going to be.
Don't bring me into this.
Oh, no, I'm totally dragging you into this.
I don't think he's as bad as he looked in Pittsburgh. Now, is he going to be decent? I don't know. But I think under Matt Canada, Tomlin, that situation, that offense.
You think Kevin Stefanski and Tommy Rees are going to sprinkle a little magic fairy dust and that's going to. I mean, he couldn't get worse.
Sure, put me
right?
down for it. Sure, put me down.
Okay, all right. I just want to get you on the record, that's all.
I think he'll start week one. I watched Joe Flacco play for the Colts last year.
Okay.
I know what he did 2 years ago here, and it was awesome. But I just think the safe route, and maybe they found something route, would be in Pickett in week one. That's all I'm saying. Oh,
okay. Well, this is going to hurt for me to say.
Yeah.
I might have to agree with Matt Derry, and I'm going to explain why. That's coming up next. It's the Memorial Day edition of the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima. No Ken, no Lima. They're stuffing their faces with barbecue today. We're with you till 10 here on The Fan. There, music to the ears of Matt Derry.
Let's go, baby.
He is on board the tiny Kenny Pickett trade. Here we go.
Geez. Yeah, all right, fine. I'll throw my fine. Just throw me under the bus, Daryl. That's fine.
Hey, you put yourself under the bus, my man.
I said I thought there might be something there. I'm going to put him in the, to quote my friends at Pro Football Focus, I'm going to put him in the veterans capable of solid play class. How about that?
That's kind of what we've come to in Cleveland when it comes to quarterbacks. Can we just get you not to just stink to high heaven? Can we get you just not to blow it every week?
Oh, man.
That's the bare minimum we ask here. We're not asking for Pro Bowls. We're not asking for first team all NFL. We're not even asking you need to be in the MVP conversation.
Was it the Denver game last year? Someone was texting me, a friend of mine.
Jameis Winston threw for 500 yards and threw six touchdowns, but four of them went to the Denver Broncos? Yes, that was the game.
It was the text that said, I think the Browns have their quarterback. And then 5 minutes later, the text was, never mind, never mind, never mind.
Because Jameis giveth and Jameis taketh.
Man, oh man. What a week of OTAs you're going to have.
I can't wait. Can you not hear the excitement in my voice? And if you can't, I just would like to apologize to you for that.
It is entertaining.
I am
legitimately
excited.
You can't say the Browns aren't entertaining. You can't say the Browns aren't entertaining.
Actually, yes, I can. last season was not the least bit entertaining. There was nothing entertaining. Well, one game. Two games. Two games were entertaining last year. The Snow Bowl game at home, that was fun to watch. And then the Jameis 498 yards against the Broncos, but he threw a couple of pick sixes, and it was fun to watch, but agonizing to think about. The guy sets a franchise record, and it also at the same time lost.
If I didn't laugh, I'd cry. This is like four different Daryls all in one today.
Yeah, you know.
I love it.
And as I look up at the TV, the local station right now is showing B-roll of Dylan Gabriel throwing footballs during rookie
minicamp. I'm being dead serious about this, Daryl.
Yeah.
Can we stop with the Dylan Gabriel height thing? It drives me nuts.
The height?
Height.
So does that mean I can't make fun of Kenny Pickett's hands either?
You can. That's a real thing.
Also, is his height. He's 5'11".
But I think there's been plenty of quarterbacks, including one in this town when you and I were growing up. Well, maybe me, but Brian Sipe, who is not exactly 6'3".
And won the MVP.
And won games.
Oh, so you didn't think I knew that, did you?
What, Brian Sipe?
That he won the MVP, yeah.
The Sipe Bowl?
The Sipe
Bowl. How old are you?
I am 47.
Oh, okay. So, yes. All right. You're right.
You're a little shocked by that, aren't you, huh?
You're a young guy, Daryl. I'm actually commending you.
I am 47. I feel like I'm 77, and I act like I'm 17.
That I'm not going to disagree with any of that. I'm just saying if the kid can play, all right? And look, I went, well, the night when they announced his name when he was drafted, I went, Dylan Gabriel, what are they doing?
I did the same thing, and I did it for like the next 2 weeks after that.
But if he can play, my point is I don't care how tall he is. That's my whole thing.
Okay, yeah. I mean, Drew Brees is short, Wilson, too, and he, you know. Right. Maybe they found the next Drew Brees, right?
Right. Well, I wouldn't go that far. But I remember when Russell Wilson came out, it was the same thing. You know, he couldn't make it at NC State. He's too small. And he won a Super Bowl. So, I don't know. I know that's
And now his career is pretty much over.
For sure. For sure. I mean, 36 years old with the Giants. Good luck. But I do think that if Gabriel, it's so early, it's May, but if he can throw the rock around and he's got some confidence, I don't care how tall he is. I just think that stuff gets so blown out of proportion.
I think that what they did this offseason is try to find some guys that can fit within structure, because they're going to need structure if they're going to be successful. It's part of the reason they drafted two running backs. It's part of the reason they drafted a tight end. I think that you're going to see this offense this year be a very precise timing style offense. Yeah, they're going to take their shots down the field to keep defenses honest, but I really think you're going to see a rollback and them trying to run the type of offense that they ran with Baker Mayfield, where it was timing routes and run the football down their throat. Because I don't think it's fair to really put a lot on any of these guys. Like Joe Flacco's at the end of his career. That's the nicest way I can put that. You've got Kenny Pickett. You're just hoping to find lightning in a bottle here. He's your guy, and I'm. You can have him. He's your guy. No, it's fine. He's your guy. It's fine. We all got our guys.
I mean, it's not exactly a great crop of apples sitting in that basket.
Well, you got to pick someone, right?
I'll pick that one.
Okay,
sure.
All right. Yeah, and then, you know, you got two kids that you're hoping you maybe find something for, right? And when you watch the film for both of these kids, they're accurate passers. And, you know, you understand why the Browns took a shot on both of them. Is my point.
Sure.
So you're again, we have reached the throw stuff against the wall and pray something sticks portion of our program in the Cleveland Browns never ending quarterback carousel that has gone 40 deep. We'll see if we get when we get number 41, and then do we get 42 and we get up to 43, because Joe we can't count Joe twice. He's already on the jersey. But I think you made a point.
That jersey. Oh, God. Keep going. I'm sorry.
That thing is like a scroll now. It's no longer a jersey. It's just a scroll.
It's phenomenal.
It needs to be in a sanctuary somewhere. You can pick the religious denomination that you want to put the scroll in.
Oh, my God.
But I don't think divine intervention is going to fix this either. No. Even though I think Bears fans and White Sox fans feel like the new Pope is going to fix their teams for them, right? They now have a connection to the Almighty because the Pope is from Chicago. Prayers.
The Bears are off-season champs.
Yeah.
Another banner in Chicago.
We know all about off-season championships here in Cleveland.
That's right. That's
but
right.
To your point about that you made last segment about Kenny Pickett and why I tend to agree with you, even though he's your guy, and you know, best of luck.
Sure, whatever.
Put your money where your mouth is. Okay,
sure, Daryl. Whatever. Sure, James.
Is there a line somewhere? I'm not a sports betting guy, but like, is there odds on? I'm sure there's odds on the Browns starting quarterback somewhere.
No, but hold on. But speaking of odds,
okay.
Our friends in Vegas. This came out 2 days ago. Our friends in Vegas now have the Browns going from 5.5 wins down to 4.5.
Oh, I'm taking the over on that all day.
The season total is now at 4.5 at many of the books out in Vegas. Just throwing that out there.
Oh, take the over on that. Get it while it's good, because I think the Browns are going to win at least 6 games this year.
How about that?
I've got them doubling their win total, which for Kevin Stefanski, that might be coach of the year material if they're able
again?
To do that.
Well, with, he is.
With these four quarterbacks.
He
but
is
to your
coach
point,
of the year.
I think it makes sense to start Kenny Pickett. I really do. Because the more I think about this situation, as much as I respect what Joe Flacco did when he came here, got dusted off a couch, I mean, the dude was like, I don't know, throwing in cornfield somewhere to his dad or something. And I think they squeezed the last great football. I mean, and that was a career stretch for him. Those five games, like, that stacked up amongst the best 5 weeks in a regular season in his entire career. And this is a guy that won a Super Bowl and was Super Bowl MVP. But when I look at, like, philosophically, where they're at right now, I don't know what, other than you're selling to the fans, hey, we're trying to win, and that's why we're starting Joe Flacco. I don't know. If you really want to see what you have in Kenny Pickett, if you really want to see what you have in Dylan Gabriel, if you really want to see if Shedeur Sanders can do anything right now as a rookie, I don't know what sense it would make philosophically, again, other than just to put the illusion out there for fans. Like, I don't know what sense it makes to start Joe Flacco. I really don't. And I don't know how many reps we're going to see this offseason during OTAs. I mean, Stefanski's on record as saying that, you know, it's not going to be 25% reps for each guy. It's going to be a practice by practice, and each practice might be weighted for a different guy, and not to read anything into that stuff. But Matt, I mean, the more I'm thinking about this, the more you might be onto something here.
Joe Flacco, God bless him, is perfect in that role of a mentor and a backup. I just don't think he's a starter anymore. And I know 2 years ago was not that far away that he was leading this team to the playoffs and an appearance in Houston. But I think the young kids, and I know, look, the Shedeur thing is just going to take off because everyone's talking about it. Everybody wants to see him, but he was a fifth-round pick for a reason. Dylan Gabriel, in a bad quarterback class where guys went ahead of him like Jalen Milroe, Dylan Gabriel's not a starter either.
Yeah.
So if Flacco's not, then the one guy left is a guy that has started games, played for a lousy offensive coordinator in Matt Canada, and I think just needs a second chance and had the perfect role last year of a backup in Philly in a great system, learning and breathing and holding a clipboard behind Jalen Hurts. And I just think that gives the Browns an opportunity to look at him, assess him, and go, this might be the guy that is capable of solid play, like I said. And
the bar is really low. We're just rooting for solid play.
Of course it is. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you, Daryl, oh, this is Matt Derry on the other end here. No, Kenny Pickett's the guy. Of course I'm not saying that. I
don't know. It sounded like a little bit. I feel like you're straddling the fence, man. I'm sorry.
I'm saying I'm intrigued by his talent and that he's only 26 and was in an offense in Pittsburgh that was so bad and so poorly constructed and run by an offensive coordinator that will never be an OC in the NFL again. That's all I'm saying. So
that's what you think. There have been many coordinators who are like, yeah, that guy's never doing this again. And then all of a sudden they get recycled. Yeah.
Right. Yep. So I truly believe that. Now, am I saying he's going to be great? No. I'm not even saying he's going to be good, but in this league, there are plenty of teams still. I mean, the Minnesota Vikings had a quarterback last year that won them 14 football games, and they let him walk. They said, nah, not good enough. We're intrigued by the young kid that we have in J.J. McCarthy. And look, J.J. McCarthy is different than Kenny Pickett. He was drafted in the first round, but he hasn't had a chance yet. I'm just saying I think he can be capable of solid play and and average enough that we go, all right, we might have something here.
I just love you can't say that with a straight face.
I'm trying, Daryl. I'm doing the best I can.
You get an A for effort,
but
just
play along. Jeez. So like,
oh, I am. He's totally your guy.
Oh my God. When he throws that, own that.
But you know what? If he starts and he plays well, you get to do the champions pose, right? That's what they call that on this show. You get to do the champions pose if that actually happens.
On Wednesday, at what point are you texting me from OTAs? God, you are a clown.
Play by play of every throw.
Like, he just threw the ball to the third string linebacker. You're way off. I'll be looking at my phone waiting for you.
Oh, I can't wait to overreact to every single throw. Oh, I can't wait.
This is fun.
You can't hear the excitement in my voice while you just aren't understanding this Memorial Day edition of the Ken Carmen Show.
Well, hold on.
Anthony Lima.
Well, I'm going to look back at some of your old tweets. There's
gotta
be something in there that says...
There are two bad things on social media. One, looking back at old tweets, and two, checking the mentions.
That's, I'm gonna during the break, I'm going to do
you
search.
Go ahead and do that.
Daryl Ryder, DTR. There's got to be a tweet in there from you from like 2 years ago. Going,
where I'm like,
DTR
this guy's the franchise
good.
Quarterback.
DTR looks good. He's not so bad.
May or may not.
There's got to be something somewhere.
You would do something like that. Well, you know what? Here's the thing. Size might not matter to the Cleveland Browns, and they've proven that in the quarterback room. However, neither does where you get drafted. And I'll explain that next with Matt here on The Fan. With the boys, the Morning Boys here on The Fan, talking about the two youngsters, Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders. Of course, all eyes are going to be on Shedeur Sanders because they always are. He loves the cameras. He loves the microphones. Everybody loves the cameras on Shedeur. And can't get enough of them, so I guess we're going to be charting his passes. Matt Derry wants me to chart Kenny Pickett passes.
You're not going to let this go, are you?
No. You're all in.
I'm all in, yes.
Okay. I would have more respect for you if you just embraced it.
I said, fine. It's fine. Everything's fine.
I see. I'm doing to you what Ken and Anthony usually do to me. And,
I listen intently, and they do pick on you. And sometimes I think it's unfair. But sure, that's fine. By the way, I saw Shedeur Sanders do a one-on-one with Andrew Siciliano. I've seen Shedeur Sanders sit down with the NFL Network people. When am I getting a Daryl Ryder Shedeur one-on-one? When is that happening?
Probably never.
What? Why not? Can we get the Browns on that? This is the flagship station. Let's go.
I can put in a request.
Yes, I want to see that.
We got some things in the works. I don't want to give too much away. But we got some cool things that are in the works here at the station. Okay. The hint is, if you missed any of the Kevin Stefanski interview with the boys on Friday morning, you can go to our station YouTube page and you can watch all 30 fabulous minutes of it. And by the way, I am with Ken and Anthony and they are picking on me, I'm usually sponsored by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. But they're not here. Matt and I are because it is Memorial Day. By the way, I do want to mention this. Take a moment, if you can today, and reflect why you get to hang out with your family, your friends. You get to enjoy the good food, the barbecue, the camaraderie, the games, whatever it is you're going to do today. Think about the folks who went overseas to allow us to do things like this today. And they did not get to come home to their family and friends. And that is why we all get to enjoy this holiday. So I just wanted to pass that along. Just take a little moment to appreciate the sacrifices made on our behalf. A lot of folks have not come home to their families. And I know their families miss them dearly. And that's why we are here today.
No doubt. Laid the foundation we stand on, my man.
And why I get to make fun of you for being a Kenny Pickett stan.
All right.
And we can laugh about the fact that it is a four-man quarterback competition. By the way, Meredith looked it up for us in the break. Are you ready for the starting quarterback odds there, Matt?
Yeah, let's do
it. All right, here we go. Meredith, what do we got? What are our... our odds, who's going to win the starting job in, I don't know, at the end of August or beginning of September or in week 7?
So as of right now, the betting favorite for the starting quarterback for week 1 is Kenny Pickett.
Hey!
At minus 100.
Music to Matt Derry's ears. See, there we go.
Do we want to guess?
My boy.
Do we want to guess? I know, Daryl literally bullied you into Kenny Pickett fandom over here.
Fine.
Do you want to guess who is the... betting favorite for the number 2?
I would say I bet it's Shedeur Sanders.
Daryl?
I'm going to say Dylan Gabriel.
No, it is Shedeur Sanders. Matt got it right. So, yeah, Kenny Pickett, the betting favorite at minus 100 for week one. Shedeur Sanders plus 175.
Vegas got no love for Joe Flacco?
No love for Joe Flacco at all.
Wow.
I think there is a crowd, and there's the gambling crowd, and obviously Vegas knows sometimes, that thinks that Shedeur will look so good in training camp.
If Kevin Stefanski told Vegas what he's doing with the starting quarterback, Kevin and I are going to have a conversation.
No, he didn't. I'm just saying, I think that the betting people think if, in fact, he looks the part and looks the part at times when he was in Colorado looking very good, that the Browns will just go, what the hell? Let's just go with it, you know?
Well, I kind of feel like that's the motto for this season. Nah, what the hell?
The hell with it?
No, what the hell? Nah, why not?
No, but, you know, and we were going to bring this up. Pro Football Focus, this is the first time that when they do their division grades and rankings, that they haven't had the AFC North in the top three. PFF does not believe that the AFC North is as strong as usual and has it graded out as the fourth best division in football right now, with the best being the NFC North.
Well, you had the Ravens win the division again. Steelers made the playoffs and were immediately ceremoniously dismissed in the wild card round, as they are each and every other year. The Bengals did not make the playoffs, and the Browns were god awful. So I kind of get where PFF's coming from. Who do they have as their best division? NFC North.
Yeah, NFC North number one, AFC West number two, and NFC West number three.
Oh,
with the Cardinals kind of up and coming, the Rams are solid. Seahawks believe with Darnold they'll be good, and obviously San Francisco's been good, although they're probably taking a step back. But AFC North is usually always top three, and usually at the very top. But like you said, Pittsburgh's got major issues at quarterback, and who knows if this 9-8, 10-7 routine will finally burst. Browns or the Browns.
Know, every year I like try and predict the Steelers' demise, and I bask in the glory of trying to predict their demise, and every year I end up wrong. So I have given up and have accepted the fact that they're going to win between 8 and 10 games every year. They're going to make the playoffs. They're going to lose on wild card weekend. Steeler fan is going to ask for Mike Tomlin to be fired. Mike Tomlin is not going to be fired, and rinse and repeat.
It's been the same, but they've been good. But you look now, I mean, who's quarterbacking that team right now? Mason Rudolph? Will Howard? At least right now.
I never thought I'd say this, but I think the Browns quarterback situation looks a lot better than the Steelers. And we don't have any. We got four guys competing for the job. We have no idea who's going to end up with this thing. I still feel better about the Browns quarterback situation than I do the Steelers. And I can't believe those words fell out of my mouth, and I'd said them with a straight face.
But it's true. Like, and this is kind of an interesting question, because you said you would take over 4.5 wins.
Yeah, that's easy money.
So that's the Vegas number for win total, yet the division's the weakest it's been in years. And PFF goes as far as say it's the fourth best. Usually AFC North is always at the top, and it's not this time. And look, Baltimore's still good. Like you said, the Bengals, bit of a circus with what's happening with Trey Hendrickson there. Do they have enough defense? Is he going to not even play? Is he going to ask for a trade? And really hold out? I mean, there's a lot of issues there, and the Steelers have issues, and the Browns have issues. So first time in a while I can remember AFC North not being as strong as folks think it is.
It's a three-team race for last place in the AFC North.
It is. Completely.
For being honest
think the Bengals will finish last.
Never say never. I mean,
with that ownership, you never know.
What I'm saying. And also, too, like, I did not expect them. Like, I expected them to make the playoffs last year, and they, I mean, they're look, I've seen wet paper bags provide more resistance than the Bengals' defense, okay?
They fired their DC. I mean, Lou's gone, so. But I can't remember a time where people ranked three divisions ahead of the AFC North. This is a first. Remember, it was just a couple years ago. Browns were in the playoffs. Steelers were knocking on the door. Bengals were in the Super Bowl. I mean, come on.
That's what's frustrating about where the Browns are at right now. Opportunity knocks, and
it is there,
and they're kind of stuck in the mud here a little bit because they've got to get this quarterback thing situated. And look, I get it; it is what it is, right? There's no use complaining about the Sean situation. It is what it is. It doesn't move anything forward by bemoaning that situation. But you hope that Dylan Gabriel can play taller. You hope that Kenny Pickett can spin it. And you hope that Shedeur Sanders is able to adapt to the National Football League, and maybe the little things in his game that may have caused him to fall, he's able to clean those things up and develop. I kind of feel like Shedeur, I don't like putting a lot on him because I'm treating him like he's a fifth round pick. If he works out, great. That's gravy for the Browns, right? But if he doesn't work out, I promise you, I'm not going to rip the kid, and I'm not going to rip the Browns because he was taken in the fifth round.
They did well with it.
Yeah,
they did well with it.
When you take a kid in the fifth round, you're taking a shot in the dark.
Yeah, I have no issue with it. I don't. I would have had an issue with it if they would have taken him at number two. I would have been like, what are they doing? It's different when and there was so much hype around it and so much talk, but putting him in this spot, I don't mind it at all.
You're going to have I know what you're going to have an issue with. I just figured it out.
What's that?
You're going to have real beef if Kenny Pickett's not starting week one. Just hit me.
You're really riding this thing, Daryl. Jeez.
Well, it is a holiday, which means it's low-hanging fruit day for me.
Look, I just said I'm intrigued. I'll go out on a limb, sure.
There's nothing wrong with being intrigued. I mean, at this point in May, if you're intrigued by anything the Cleveland Browns are doing, God bless you. It's May.
I think Jonathan Peterlin could win the job. I mean,
let's not get carried away.
Let's just throw in anybody right now.
Let's not get carried away.
But the division is there to at least, and I know the Browns' schedule is brutal. They have to play the NFC North.
Oh, man.
For a team that, like you said, finished in last place, has to play this schedule. But the division is not as strong. It's crazy to me.
I feel like they got a first-place schedule finishing last.
I know. It just happens to be they're playing the best division, and they got to play NFC North, got to come to Detroit, play there. It's not going to be easy. So,
hey, you know what? I can't wait for that game against Detroit. It's the regular season edition of the Great Lakes Classic. Never has a game
GLC
that meant so little. The barge is on the line. Best trophy in sports. Each team
has
one. Each team
they
has
do?
A barge, yes.
Oh, man, they got to bring that out.
And I'm telling you, that thing is heavy. I almost gave myself a hernia because I'm like, oh, I'm just going to lift this thing with my arms. No big deal. Yeah, bad idea. Needed to lift that thing with the legs. That thing is heavy. That is a two-man job. Let me tell you. Best trophy in sports, even better than the Larry O'Brien trophy. And up next, we are going to talk about what it's going to take for the Cavaliers to add another Larry O'Brien. The Larry they got over at Rocket Arena, a little lonely, needs a little company. What's it going to take for the Cavaliers to give him some help, give him some little company there in the trophy case? We're going to talk about it next. It's Daryl Ryder, Matt Derry, in for the Ken Carman Show with Anthony Lama here on a Memorial Day.